Hello, everybody. Welcome to our live coverage of the NFL Combine as Brandon joins in aptly as well. You guys came in fast. Brandon, Shane, and Will, how are you guys doing on this great Combine Saturday? Just chilling and watching the Combine. Welcome back from break, everyone.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's good to be back. It's like 5 months straight of podcasting multiple times a week, and then to just not do it all of a sudden for 3 weeks, it's like, whoa, this is weird.
It was good, though. It felt good.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah. It felt good to take a break. Anything special over the break, Brandon?
Besides me basically having a 3 week celebration of my football team. No, I mean, I got my Super Bowl gear and all that stuff out of the way. So you guys saw it. One of the last things came today. So, nothing crazy, just enjoyed it. But, yeah, I'm ready to get back into this. I missed this.
Yeah, it really is good to be back. Will, anything special for you over the break?
Besides, you know, seeing the Eagles and almost puking a little bit, and working here and there, it's been a somewhat all right break.
Shane, what about you, man?
Working, busy working, but you know, February is probably my least favorite month. So,
thanks.
You're welcome. Sorry, Brandon. Your birth month. Yeah, it's not like you had any say in that matter. So,
yeah, no.
but yeah, no. So you know, I'm not complaining that now we're in March, which is kind of wild. But, yeah. But you know, everything's been fine. Just busy, but that's all right.
Yeah, same here. I finally finished The Last of Us this week, both games.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible.
Yeah, let's go, finally.
And then
time.
I know. And then my legs are killing me because I did CrossFit. I did a CrossFit open yesterday. Yeah, and my legs are just like, they're like Iron Man. Like, I feel like my legs are iron and I can't move them. It's like they're gold titanium plates. Speaking of that, we are going to talk about Iron Man a little bit later, but we're watching the running backs do the 40. Shane, Will, what did you say?
Oh, no, I'm just saying David Spade showed up.
Yeah, David Spade's here. I don't know what they always get comedians in here. No, but Shane, when we're looking at the running backs, right? I mean, look, the four cones and the shuttle drills are important, but that's straight line speed. I mean, it's interesting. The guy out of Virginia Tech, Tuden here, running a 4.38. It's not really a fast first group. Does that concern you at all?
No, because I think when you look at the running back position, it's becoming much more. And, you know, they, as a position, it moved away from this for a while, but I think we're getting more back to the era where, where being elusive and being a bruiser is a little more important than just straight ahead speed. A lot of guys have good speed, but you know, when you look at the best running backs in the game today, you know, Saquon, Henry, Jacobs, I mean, these are all guys that, yes, they're fast, but their biggest thing is, you know, you send them in between the tackles, and if a defensive tackle or whatever, you know, gets in their way, they can
pull them.
Yeah, I mean, not consistently, but they, you know, they can do that if they need to. You see, I mean, these days, you know, a lot of the, just like the straight ahead speedsters, and you see more of them like at receiver and DB.
Which is what we saw with the DBs yesterday. just blazing.
And, you know, and this was the case last year, too. I mean, the, you know, last year, the running backs, none of them really had amazing 40 times, you know, relative to what we are accustomed to at that position. but, you know, there's still plenty of backs from last year's class that are doing really well in the league now. And, you know, example, Bucky Irving. You know, I remember last year we were watching him and, you know, at the combine doing his drills. And I mean, you could just tell he was like a level above the other guys. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing that now. So, yeah. So, you know, the 40 time, I mean, it's good. Yes. But, you know, and this goes for really every combine drill. It only tells part of the story.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, because it's, I mean, football is such a cerebral game that, you know, a lot of it is just, you know, I mean, you have the athletic abilities, but it's like, okay, what do you do when you have to make those quick decisions in game? And, you know, you don't really see that in the combine. You know, I mean, you look at guys like Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor, and their combine numbers.
Awful.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they deserve to be fifth, sixth round picks based on their combine performances. But that doesn't tell you a lot. So,
yeah, and that leads us, and Will, I'll start with you here. This kind of leads us to the conversation of, you know, the combine for the top guys is mostly just an interview process now. These guys aren't really doing the on-field drills. Do you find that significant in any way?
Yeah, honestly, I believe guys like Marvin Harrison, I believe last year, I don't think he participated in most stuff. I forgot. I know Kayvon Thibodeau in years before, I think he didn't participate in one of the drills, I believe. So it's like, You can do it depending on what you're projected to be. I feel like it's more so of people that are mostly under the radar who's, you know, didn't have a much of a great, you know, showcase during their season or during the Senior Bowl. And this could be their another opportunity for them to show scouts like, hey, I'm basically can do, you know, a run how much this for this lap for the 40-yard dash, or I can, you know, catch and I got good route running and speed and strength and stuff like that, or leaping ability. Like, I have those abilities and I didn't really able to showcase and impress during my college years. So I think it's something for them that are like projected like in the like second round, third round, and so on. But for the people that are like projecting the first, is like, it's the term. It's like really an option for them because they show that they have a lot of tape. Like, look at the tape. You know, I'm that good. I don't really need a combine to prove, to just continue to prove that, like, hey, I can basically do is like basically work I put out there. It's like, hey, I'm able to do this, and I'm able to put this. I put this so much numbers, like a Travis Hunter or sort of like that. Like, if. Like, I don't think he really needs to come by that much because, like, he's projected to be in the first round anyways, and basically maybe in the top three as well. So I think those guys that have that talent that showcase how well they're able to do it don't really need it. But for the lower end guys that didn't show the opportunity that they have during their college years, like, this is another second chance opportunity to show the scouts what they can do, and they can be bumped up a little bit in the draft to get drafted.
And Brandon,
like Keon Coleman last year.
Keon
good example
Coleman,
of
yeah,
that.
That's true. Yes, yeah. Brandon, you know, I think it is interesting to see, like, you know, a lot of these top prospects are saying, hey, I work out at my pro day. I work out in a more comfortable environment. Really, the uncomfortableness comes from the interview process here this week in Indy.
Yeah. It's a lot of times when we're looking at a lot of these guys coming through the combine, you know, especially, I mean, really the last, what, maybe 5-8 years or so around there, maybe more, maybe 10 even, you know, the big name guys, you know, this is their, you know, like the for that for the bigger guys, I feel like the pro day is going to mean more when it comes to the interview process. You know, a lot of these guys, that's where you really want to make your name, because on field the stuff speaks for itself. You know, I've always been, you know, like combines or combines, whatever. To me, the tape matters more when I look at stuff like this. So what do you put on the field? Because ultimately you're not playing in shorts and a t-shirt. You're playing in pads and equipment, all this different kind of stuff. Game speed is different than combine speed. So it's like you got to take a lot of these things with a kind of a grain of salt and kind of just look at the overall player that you're getting. But that's where in the interview process, those things kind of shine. And, you know, we've heard about guys in the past, right, having, bad interviews, just bad or even just, a lack of football IQ just from the answers that they give. You can kind of tell the kind of person that you're getting. It's, to me, when I look at this whole process, you really make or break yourself in the interview sessions, not really at the combine itself. You could determine a lot by a player, because even if you don't put together a good combine, if you ace the interview and show them that you're hey, I might have had a bad combine, but I'm only going to get better, or I'm going to work at it, or something like that. Or when they always ask each player, what kind of player are we getting if we draft you? And that answer can tell you, most guys will give a generic answer, hard work or determined, all this kind of stuff. But the ones that you can read their eyes that they mean it, and the ones that you can kind of see something a little different in them than the rest of the guys, those are the guys that will ultimately stand out. And I think, when you look at the whole, day-long event that this has become, or days long, this went from being a 2 or 3 day event into a 4 or 5 day thing now, if not a whole week.
This is a week long, yeah.
Yeah. So, it feels like a long process if you're an athlete and you go through something like that, a week long, to do all these different things and go here, go there, do this, do that. It seems like a lot, but it's gotten, longer. But at the same time, if you can show out, especially in that interview room, if you can show these teams, because you're not just interviewing for the one team that's projected to pick you, obviously. You're interviewing for all 32. So it's
most of them, or at least most of them. Yeah.
Because they talk too. Those teams.
They talk amongst each other. So there's a lot of times, I can't remember specific examples, but I do remember over the last, especially few years, of a guy having an iffy interview or an iffy IQ thing with one team, and it's spreading to others, and then that's how your draft stock falls. So it's really important, to me, the drills, it's like, as long as you just have, you could have a bad combine and have a great pro day, but what these teams are going to remember a lot, they're going to put it all together, but what they're going to remember a lot is what you said and what you plan to do at the next level. So that, to me, is probably the most important of all the things that go on this entire week.
And that brings us to Shedeur Sanders. There was a report from CBS's Jonathan Jones yesterday that, he on teams that he doesn't want to go to, it seems like he isn't interviewing as well. And Cam Ward, he's interviewed with at least 10 teams by this point or something to that effect. Everyone's been impressed with how he's interviewed. Shane, when you are looking at, you've done quarterback coaching even at the high school level, when you're just talking to these kids, just talking to them, just on a day-to-day basis, what are you looking for? What are these qualities that you're looking for, even outside of the football field itself?
For the quarterback especially, that's a position where you really want someone who is more grown up than the other guys. And, somebody who is a leader, who takes accountability and who, you know, works hard and pushes the other guys. And, you know, you don't want at quarterback a guy who's, you know, kind of a show off and, you know, has a kind of like a, you know, somebody who's like quiet and just kind of keeps to himself, whatever. That, you know, those guys, like, you can play receiver and act like that, you know, or corner, whatever, because it's, you know, you're kind of out on your own way up. You're not, you know, right there in the trenches with everybody. You're kind of out doing your own thing. It's a very flashy position. So it's like, yeah, whatever. But a quarterback, I mean, you're the, you know, you're the leader of the offense. You know, you got the green sticker on the back of your helmet. So, that's what I look for. And, yeah, I would assume it's probably similar for all these guys. And yeah, I mean, it's frustrating that he is doing that, Shadur. But you know, the thing is, though, I mean, he's, if you look at how hyped up he's been these last 2 years, and, you know, and you consider that as well as, I mean, just look at the name on his jersey. I mean, that's going to help him a lot, you know, because the teams that are impressed with him are, you know, they're going to look at that and go like, yeah, well, you know, we know he's good, so it's fine, you know. And but like Cam Ward, he couldn't do that. You know, he couldn't go around to the teams he doesn't want to and just kind of, you know, half-ass it. And, you know, that wouldn't go well for him. But, you know, since he's the son of NFL legend and Hall of Famer Deion Sanders, you know, he probably gets a little bit of a pass, which is stupid, but that's how it goes. And, you know, same thing with Marvin Harrison last year, not really participating in any of the drills. You know, he still goes fourth overall. It's, you know, and I'm sure in a couple of years, like if Arch Manning did the same thing, it, you know, no one would really care about it. You know, yeah. That's the way things goes. Things go. You know, nepotism and whatnot.
You know, it's funny. Shane, normally, you know, when we do this show, we normally like do, hey, here's your like overall draft class rankings for the quarterbacks. We as a whole do not like this class at all at quarterback position. And explain why is that? Because I think it's really valuable to explain to people like, hey, this class is really not interesting at all, even at the top half.
Yeah, no, this class is very, I think this class has a lot of depth. It's not just quarterback, but in general. There's a lot of depth, but not a ton of, there aren't really a lot of stars in this draft. I think this is a year where we're going to get a lot of guys like in the, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth round who are just like these, you know, these hidden gems, so to speak. And, yeah, I mean, looking at the different quarterbacks, I do think Cam Ward is probably my favorite, but I mean, even he, I'm not putting him above, you know, the top four or five guys from last year. You know, and I do think, I do like Shadur somewhat. You know, I think he's a little, I think he's a little overhyped. Just again, I mean, the, you know, the with the name and everything. But he's, you know, depending on where he goes, he can be a you know, a serviceable starter. I mean, I don't think he's going to be a, you know, top dog by any means. One guy that's gotten a lot of buzz lately who I've kind of had my eye on him since like last year, probably, well, like last summer, I guess, is Jackson Dart. I think this guy could be really interesting if he goes to the right situation.
Yeah.
He had a really
good showing during Senior Bowl week. Someone that got a lot of buzz during Senior Bowl. He's gonna be very interesting.
Yeah. I was definitely ahead of the curve on him, not to brag. But yeah, I mean, he's definitely, I mean, he has, you know, all the physical tools from the neck down. To me, it's just, you know, between the ears, I don't totally trust him. So, you know, I think if he goes to someplace where he has an offense that where he can kind of you know, improv and, you know, be a playmaker and has some pieces around him, I think he could do really well. I almost see like a, and I mean, this might sound crazy, but I almost see like, you know, pre-injury Carson Wentz a little bit with him.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, he's, you know, he's got decent size, pretty good arm strength. It's just, you know, above the neck, I think he's a little reckless, you know, and that can, depending on what offense you're in, that can definitely bite you in the ass. But otherwise, you know, the rest of these quarterbacks, I'm like, eh. I don't see a whole lot. But you know, like I said earlier, I think if this is a year where we're going to have like some, you know, late round guy who's just shocks us all, it's going to be this year. Sort of like 22, where, you know, it was like Kenny Pickett, Will Levis, Malik Willis, you know, Desmond Ridder. Those were like the top guys. And I was like, really? but, it, you know, it ended up being seventh rounder Brock Purdy, who was the best of all of them. So, you know, who would have thought that, you know? And even he is not like amazing by any means, but you know, at least he's a
starter.
Yeah, I mean, at least he's like, you know, a decent starter. That's, you know, that's more than any of those other guys can say. So
yeah. Will, what do you think about just the quarterback class, but also just the, well, there is overall depth in the class, but what is your thought on the QB class specifically, but just wide ranging in this year's draft class?
I think this QB class, like, I agree, it's a weak one. Like, compared to last year, which I was there live, it was more hype because Caleb and Jaden Daniels, like that was basically the top tier guys in that draft, and then, you know, they get Bo Nix and stuff like that. So the quarterback that of last year, it was a lot of hype around here. Like, this one, it's not much as hype like last year's, but, you know, there's some decent ones. I feel like Cam Ward, for some odd reason, some odd reason, I feel like he's more of a bust to me for some odd reason. I don't know why. I guess he gave me too much of like Anthony Richardson with his hype. Though Anthony Richardson only had like what, like one season in Florida, but Cam Ward had a bunch of seasons, but he had he had a lot of inconsistent play. So I'm just a little bit skeptical by him. Like Shadir has his faults, but I feel like Deion's going to basically get him. I think he's basically NFL ready. I feel like same thing with Travis Hunter. Well, we're not talking about the quarterback, but I'm just talking about like people that's under Deion Sanders in general.
But Shadir's definitely more NFL ready.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's why I feel. That's why I don't think Cam Ward gives you too much of Anthony Richardson a bit, but. I feel like with this QB class, it has a bit, you know, like Dart. Yeah, Dart got a lot of hype too. I just hope it's more of a Bo Nix type of thing instead of like a Paxton Lynch or something like that, or some of these quarterbacks that had some sort of like hype and get drafted high, but then just disappointed and fell off the cliff. But I think this QB class has a bit of promise, though it doesn't have much hype. It's just that we'll see what the situation is, because I feel like in a situation that feels better and that fits better with the scheme set for the QB, I think they will flourish. We'll just see what happens. Like, that's why with Brock Purdy, that's how he was successful. But we'll see. But yeah, I feel like this QB class, it don't have much hype, but I feel like it can have some sleepers. Like I said, it has some sleepers there. I think Milroe is something to look at, though. He had a disappointing season in Alabama, but it has some sleepers in there for sure.
Yeah, Milroe had a tough week at Senior Bowl. It is a chance for him to kind of redeem himself today and throughout the week, which he has in some of the interviews for sure. Brandon, you have a lot of your Oregon boys here who actually have impressed so far during the Combine week, so you can talk about those guys, but also just your overall thoughts on the QB class and the class in general.
Yeah, when it comes to the quarterbacks this year, we've all just touched on it that it's definitely a weaker class. It's something where you're not sure. Like another years, obviously you're not sure by any guy that you draft. Like you think this guy could be the franchise guy, but. Obviously he's a rookie, like you need to help him develop, maybe a little bit, but like to me, all these guys this year in some way, shape, or form, like some guys, come in pro ready and you can see it from their college tape. You can see, they've got it, like Shanta, they got it between the ears, but they also got all the attributes to be a franchise guy. It's just, and they put on a good combine or a good pro day, things like that. But I feel like when you look at the top three guys, in this draft, even compared to just last year, those guys were locked in. You knew more or less where they were going before even the combine was even started. This year, you look at these guys, and to me, they all just feel like projects. It's just, which project do you feel like you can get the most out of? Like, which situation do you think is the best for each of them? And I think the more I watch these guys and the more I kind of go back and look at their game tape and things like that, I still think that Jackson Dart might be the best of the three, but I watched plenty of games where he made some really questionable throws. They all really did. All of them really did at some point. Cam Ward's probably the most electric of the three, but it's just to me, he gives off like we were just saying, he gives off those Anthony Richardson vibes. I mean, Shadur, I've never been high on. I think he's the worst of the three. I don't see it in him. I just don't really. I just feel like he is a big project. I think he needs a lot of developing, especially when you come from a smaller college, not small, but smaller compared to Miami and Ole Miss. I think that when you're looking at those kinds of guys, it's like which project do you feel comfortable undertaking? And I don't know how comfortable I feel in any of the three of them right now. It was funny, Jackson Dart did say I think it was yesterday, maybe 2 days ago, I saw it. It came out. I forget. It might have been like Bleacher Report. Somebody, some big outlet had posted it saying that he gave an interview answer, and he basically said that he models his game. And I don't know. I don't see it in him, so I don't know why he said it. But he actually looks up to it and it tries to model his game after Jalen Hurts.
I saw it as well.
I don't know if I see that in him. He's not that kind of guy. So I don't know what he's expecting out of himself. I mean, but I mean, hey, listen, if we're calling him, you know, pre-injury Carson Wentz, and if he thinks that he can be, you know, like a Jalen Hurts, that's not bad at all. But I don't know, you know, I look at the three of them, I'm just, I don't know. Like, it's, there's so, like, if those are the three guys you're coming into a draft class with, then you understand that the position is very weak this year. You know, a lot of teams, I mean, that's part of the reason the Rams said, hey, we're going to extend Matt Stafford. You know, like, we don't want to really go through this whole thing. We have to find a quarterback or a bridge guy, or whatever the case may be, and waste the upcoming primes of like Kyren Williams and Puka Nacua and guys like that. So, you know, I mean, hell, even the Jets even said, hey, we're going to roll with Tyrod Taylor over after getting rid of Aaron Rodgers. So,
yeah, possibly. We'll see if they take a project. But yeah, right now they feel comfortable with Tyrod, which I'm not that surprised about. But it's a mess.
That's just the quarterback stuff. But when it comes to my Oregon boys, I mean, we already know that, you know, when it comes to Oregon, they're going to put out guys who are A, fast, speed kills. That's been one of their mottos for years. They're going to put out, you know, a ton of tape. And this is, I believe this is this, I saw this a couple days ago, but it's a record for the combine. The Ducks have 12 guys here. So,
and I believe they're all, and I think they're all participating in at least one or two drills.
Yeah. And I don't want to, I mean, I can go through the list of all these guys, but the guy that I love, and I said it even when the season was going on this year, I love Terrence Ferguson as a tight end. I feel like he doesn't get enough love at all. He literally ran the fastest of all the 40 times for a tight end. He ran a 4.63. You know, people keep talking about, you know, oh, Tyler Warren. I'm like, Terrence Ferguson exists. Terrence Ferguson was a top three tight end in college football. So it's just, I wish, you know, people kind of focus on that. And the thing is, he's going to put eyes on him based on that 40 time. You know, Jordan James is here today. I mean, I saw him run his 40, you know, a little bit slower than the rest of the guys, but that the speed was never like he kind of, you know, is a little bit of like a shiftier back. Not really super fast. But I still, Jordan James is still another guy. Just like Bucky Irving, he's another guy I believe in. You know, the Ducks, you know, when it comes to running backs, I just feel like that's what you want out of a running back. You're going to want somebody out of Oregon. You know, you're going to want a speedy guy, but you're also going to want somebody who's going to be still tough and physical, you know. But Bucky has those traits. Jordan James has similar traits, I think. So, you know, those guys are just, to me, they're really, you know, those are the two guys out of this class for Oregon that I really love. Those are the two, you know, star guys from the team this year. You know, you got Jabbar Muhammad. You know, he had a decent combine. You know, he saved a couple things. He's saving it for the pro day. I know that. So we'll see more on his pro day. But from the things that he did do, it's just, I don't think he showed his full potential. I think he had a couple decent moments, but we'll see more, like I said, during Oregon's pro day. But Terrence Ferguson and Jordan James, those two guys to me are, they're the highlight of this Oregon class. And everybody's going to talk about, hey, you know, Dylan Gabriel is, you know, no longer a Duck, you know, or whatever. But I don't think, you know, when it comes to quarterbacks, like we're talking about this class, I love DG, but I
he ain't.
I don't think he's, I don't think he's the guy. You know, he's gonna be like a third, fourth rounder. Lefty quarterback, that's already kind of putting him at a little bit of disadvantage in the NFL. And then on top of that, just he had some moments where just simple reads were kind of tough for him this year. So, you know, we'll see with him. But like I said, Terrence Ferguson, Jordan James today, those are the guys I've kept my eye on. And T. Ferg, I love him. I follow him on Instagram. I love everything that Ferguson does. So, you know, I love those guys. You know, those are my guys. As much as I'm a Jersey boy, you know, I don't root for Rutgers. Although I'll tell you what, right now, as we just saw him do it, Kyle Manungai, I think no one's talking about him. But Kyle Manungai to me is a guy that's, you know, we've seen him, you know, on this side of the country, you know, in our neck of the woods for last couple of years. That guy is special when he puts on the pads.
Yeah, I like what he's putting on today. I'm impressed so far. Yeah. Are you guys ready to talk about some Iron Man?
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Okay. So let's get the elephant out of the room first with Iron Man 2008. This is the beginning of our Spider-Man origin series of movies, which includes Iron Man. Wait, what? See, exact. Yep. Exactly.
Wait, I'm just saying. Wait, Spider-Man origin movie. What are you talking about?
So
yeah, I don't get it either.
Hang on, we're gonna get there. So we're beginning our off season with five quote unquote Spider-Man origin movies. So we're starting with Iron Man this week. Then we're doing Spider-Man 1, Tobey, The Amazing Spider-Man 1, Andrew. And then obviously Tom Holland, Spider-Man Homecoming, and then we're going to finish with a watch along of No Way Home. Why are we starting with Iron Man? Because I think Iron Man is the linchpin to all three of them. When you think of Marvel, right? When you think of where Marvel has gone with movies, right? For me, what the biggest movie, I mean, look, we'll talk about Tobey's next week and all these things. This is the movie that matters the most. This is the movie that gives us this leeway to get us to No Way Home. And I think for me, that's why I want to start with it. Obviously, we'll get to more specifics as well with Tom Holland. But when I think ahead to No Way Home, and I think ahead of, you know, the arc reactor and all these different pieces, I think that this connects all that movie. Really, the emphasis of No Way Home is kind of intrinsically with the Iron Man character in a way that's very, it's a bit kind of big brainish to a degree, because it's like, okay, there's these different pieces and it affects Tom. So how does it affect Andrew and Tobey? Well, we'll get to those things with No Way Home, but like, there are all these different pieces that I think without this movie, without Iron Man 1, without what it means for not only the mainline MCU universe, but thinking ahead to Tobey and Andrew's potential appearance in Doomsday and what that means, of course, with Robert Downey Jr. there as well. And so to me, I think when we're talking about Marvel as a whole, especially with us, you know, doing MCU movies here with Tom Holland's trilogy, and then by extension, the X-Men movies that we did last year, and then next off season, we'll do the Captain America movies. So like, we'll really tie this into a bow leading into Doomsday. But to me, I feel like Iron Man is kind of that catapult that gives us this kind of base to kind of build off of when we talk about the, you know, the three Spider-Man movies and then, you know, launching into No Way Home. So that was kind of my overall thought. I know it's not necessarily perfect, but I feel like we can't talk about these three movies without Iron Man. And I'll explain more as we go through the next 3 weeks, like how each three of the next three movies that we do kind of connects to it in different ways, because there's some behind the scenes things that, you know, kind of are intertwined with these movies as well, with these next three that we're doing. But I really felt it was important to give us a base when we're talking about Spider-Man origin movies. And to me, that base in my head always goes back to Iron Man 2008. So that is kind of why I wanted to start with this. And I would just feel wrong, you know, going to Tom Holland's trilogy without saying, hey, Iron Man, you know, the movie that started it all and got us to this place where we're talking about the multiverse saga. And again, it's been a mess. We'll probably get to that when we get to No Way Home. But, like, I just think it's extremely important for those reasons. But when we're talking about this movie, we're talking about Iron Man, you know, it's just entertaining. And I think it's just a fun movie with the background. And we'll get to those backgrounds as well. But Shane, you feel like it's a little overrated. And I kind of feel the same way after watching it as well.
I think it's very overrated. Sorry, but yeah, everybody looks at this movie like, this is a top five MCU movie. And I'm like, what? I thought the first time I watched it and the second time and the third time yesterday that it's, I think it's honestly pretty boring. I mean, I'm sorry, but I think the, you know, the whole first act in the cave is way, way too long. And, you know, the second act is very slow. And there's really not a lot going on in the second half. It's just kind of, you know, it's like, okay, let me test this suit. Oh, that didn't work. Okay, let me try this. Oh, hey, Pepper, let's flirt. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's like, okay, like, were we going somewhere here? You know? And then there's just kind of a very rushed, like, anticlimactic ending with Stain. And then it's just over. And I'm like, okay. I don't know. I know it's the movie that, you know, started the whole MCU, but I really don't, I don't know. I don't understand the appeal behind it. You know, I think, I'm personally my favorite Iron Man movie, and I know this is a hot take, but my favorite is Iron Man 3 personally, because
Iron Man 3, but that's a tough take.
I hate the Mandarin twist, but besides that, I really enjoy that movie because it's like, not to get too into this because it's not about this movie, but I really enjoy how it focuses on Tony, the guy behind the mask, and how he has changed as he's become Iron Man, you know, as far as like the PTSD and anxiety he experiences, and the, you know, just in general, kind of the how he starts to mature around that time. And I just think it's interesting. But that's just me.
Yeah.
This movie, though, yeah, I don't know. I don't really care for it. I mean, honestly, if I had to grade it, I'd probably give it like a C, which
we are going to give grades. So
yeah,
that's interesting. I think that a lot of it being like rewritten on the fly and things kind of hurts it in that respect. But I do think that's a huge part of it. Will, what are your thoughts on this movie, you know, kind of looking back when you first saw it, but also, you know, rewatching it now?
it's a movie that I always thought, and I always put in high regards. Honestly, in my opinion, I always thought the 2008 Incredible Hulk was actually the start of it, since there's also characters there that also was put into the MCU. But that's just me. Just accept the Hulk, Norton didn't get put in because obviously they were going different directions with Mark Ruffalo because of the, I believe it's money or whatever.
Yeah. But money, creative control, a lot of those different pieces. Yeah.
Yeah, and he kind of didn't see the writing on the wall, to be honest, because this is really kept Spike baby, so nobody's gonna have creative control over him. So you know, it is what it is. But I feel like with this movie, I always thought this movie is arguably the foundation of what this MCU Iron Man is, and I always put that high regards. I get most people don't like it. And because we had a lot of like better movies later on, honestly, my favorite Iron Man movie, well, technically it was an Iron Man movie, but he was in it, is Captain America Civil War. I thought that was always, my opinion, the best one. Probably the best MCU movie of all time outside Black Panther and Infinity War. But that's just me. And I feel like with this movie, you know, it's the origin story. It was setting the stage of basically a Tony Stark as a character, because obviously if you read the comics, and I don't really read the comics at all, but you know, there's the origin story for him, and usually it's sort of like, you know, a guy like Tony Stark who's basically this playboy billionaire guy that basically had his there was an accident, and we found out the missile was one of his tech, and he got, you know, his heart was basically damaged in the process, which in real life, it's like he sort of might die instantly, but, you know, it's just the movies. But I think that this movie, when it came down to the end, sure, the villain wasn't all that good. Honestly, there are better villains. Though I feel like the guy with the whips was, you know, was mediocre, but the other guy that was like melting the like stuff and turning and have people to turn into this like ultra, like a walking nuclear type reactor, like from the inside. So I think those were sort of better villains, but I always say that this was sort of a movie that was top, that was really, really a good, like, B plus tier type movie. And I feel that, also looking back at it with a side note, I do think the one that was the War Machine, that guy, he was supposed to be moving forward, but at the end they changed it, moving forward with the movie, which looking back at it, is so surreal that the lot of changes that they made.
Yeah, Terrence Howard in this movie is really weird. It's one of the weirdest things. The more I watch it,
I remember him mostly from Empire than this movie. But you know, I think this movie, you know, is pretty good. Like the badass scenes when he was in that country and he was taking down those guys with his weapons. Like, and we found that Hugo was actually the guy that was behind all what was going on, and also him creating the suit and all that. Like, I always think that's really one of those great movies from the MCU. To me, a top 10 type MCU movie that basically shows basically the character of Iron Man, basically from the start of what he is and the character of him and the character that he is and the character that was laid the foundation of what he is, and then evolving, making him more so of not just him and being not overly cocky. Though he's cocky, you know, most of the time during the MCU, but showing a little bit of passion here and there of basically the people and basically what his weapons is doing, and don't want to put his weapons in the wrong hands. And I always just think those type of movies of like these character growth and these change of characters into basically being more of the people and more of basically not just himself, and I always liked that part of that movie.
All right, Brandon, what are your thoughts on like your experience with this movie originally watching it to now, and what are your overall thoughts on the film?
I mean, you know, when you're a lot younger, originally watching it, you know, you're mesmerized by it. You know, it's as a little kid, it's just you're just drawn to superheroes, you're drawn to stuff like this. You know, Iron Man, I always liked him more than other superheroes, even though he's not my favorite, but he's definitely up there. I, you know, watching that versus, you know, now it's like now you go back and you kind of it. This movie, I feel like, has the reason, one of the biggest reasons why it's rated so highly and favorably. I mean, it was rated highly and fairly at the time, but I think why it's held is just because that at that time period, you know, that was 16, 17, that was 17 years ago almost. So the problem, you know, becomes, hey, you know, how much of it is just nostalgia and how much of it is that it's actually a good movie. And I still think it's a good movie. I don't think it's as great as everyone makes it seem to be. I, you know, rewatching it, I was like, certain things were just kind of corny and very just, you know, like, just, what's the cliche? That's what I'm looking for. As are a lot of superhero movies, but like, you know, it is the thing that started the MCU, even though I'm not the biggest fan of a lot of the MCU stuff. Like, I'm not a fan of the Thor movies, really. Like, I'll watch them if they're on, but I'm not a fan of that. I mean, Captain America is probably the only actual series out of the Marvel, all the ones they've done, the MCU stuff that they've done, that I actually like. I still don't really care for anything to do with the Hulk. I'm still a believer in, as much as when you think about it, it's not a great movie, but to me, I grew up on it. I loved it. I loved the 03 Hulk with Eric Bana.
Yeah.
I like that one better.
You like that one, but you don't like the requel?
No. I don't like anything just Hulk related unless it's Hulk 03. That's really it.
By the way, whoever said that, I forgot who said that. It was some Marvel executive at the time. She said that the 2008 Incredible Hulk movie is a requel, which is like a prequel plus a weird thought, but
I get it. But it's like I wasn't hyped for, like, when Iron Man came out when I was a little, you know, we were all little kids. Iron Man had hype around it. I liked it, but when they talked about doing the Hulk, I was like, like, even as a little kid, I was like, no, I'd rather, like, it just looked a lot different than what I was, you know, what I was used to growing up. So I was like, and then when I watched it, I'm like, oh, I'm still not, I mean, it's not bad. Edward Norton's a great actor, but I'm like, then to also just say, hey, you know, we're having a dispute with him and changing it to Mark Ruffalo. And to me, Mark Ruffalo just does not look like somebody that would be the Hulk.
Yeah.
Like, I still...
Well, he's not supposed to, though.
Yeah. No, I mean, I get it, but, like, when I look at him, I don't see a Bruce Banner or a Hulk out of him. Like, I like him in other movies, other things he's done. I don't like him as the Hulk. So...
It's funny, because I'm opposite. I like him as Banner and Hulk, but I don't care for him in other movies.
That's so weird. I'm just a fan, like, of him in general.
I don't think
I hate what they did to Hulk in the MCU, man. They made him look like a complete bitch, man. That was out.
I'll say this though. I'm okay that we'll send that, but I want to save that. I want to put that in the catalog. That's good right there.
Well, I like I like what they did with him, like, in, you know, the first Avengers, Age of Ultron, you know, Thor Ragnarok, in those three. I liked what they did, but, like, but yeah, in the Russo movies, Infinity War, Endgame, I was like, what are we doing? This is no, this is stupid.
Oh my god, man.
It's like that's the problem I have with, like, the MCU past, like, at least past the Captain America movies or the first, you know, the first couple ones, I'm like, you lost me after that. I'm like, I don't care anymore. To me, it's just like, I remember going to see the Spider-Man movies and I'm like, okay, it's cool. You know, I like Tom Holland as Spider-Man. I'm like, that to me though, those are better than the majority of the MCU. At least from a superhero standpoint, Tom Holland fits the role of Peter Parker in Spider-Man more than I think any of the actors fit their characters. I mean, Chris Evans kind of does.
Does probably break Captain America. And RDJ probably. I mean, there's some that
Downey's perfect for Iron
Downey's
Man,
perfect. I mean, no, Downey, yeah. that's the thing that I'm always mesmerized with, particularly watching this movie and then kind of going back to and watching some of his scenes from the Avengers and, you know, from the 2012 one and all these different things. It's like he just, oh my God, but he's just fantastic.
It also helps that RDJ was the most known actor coming into the MCU. He was already known.
Yeah.
So like,
not necessarily for the right reasons, but yes.
No, not for the right reasons.
Yeah.
At that time.
Yeah, at that time. He did have a couple movies, you know, going back to the 90s that were really well done. Like, I mean, he played Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah, but in 2008, I mean, most people heard Robert Downey Jr. Yeah. and thought, oh, the you know, drug addict who went to jail and whatever, you know.
Which is
unfortunate, like, but that's...
Yeah, I mean, you know, he was more known for his high-profile relationships and his drugs than anything else.
Right.
I mean, he was still, you know, there were still people that didn't, you know, in terms of an actor, like, I would say him and I mean, Scarlett Johansson was known because she did Lost in Translation. We watched that, but that's, I mean, she was still young coming into the MCU more or less, you know, and then the MCU really what blew her up. Mark Ruffalo was known, but that's really kind of what blew him up, you know. Tom Holland, obviously being a babyface, no one really knew, younger guy, Spider-Man, fit Spider-Man, that blew him up. Like, both, you know, RDJ playing, you know, I can't think of, like, when I think of, like, certain characters, maybe just because nobody else has also played them before, like, they're, like, no one's played Iron Man, and nobody could play Iron Man. Like RDJ, whereas like the Hulk, I don't see Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk. I see Eric Bana as the Hulk.
I so badly want a Tom Cruise Iron Man cameo in Doomsday. I want that so bad. Yeah.
You want like Tropic Thunder type stuff.
No, he was originally gonna play Iron Man in the 90s.
I get it.
Like none of the 90s. Or was in it the MCU?
Oh, really?
Feige and the other guys, they wanted in 2008, they wanted it to be Cruise. But then Favreau said, we need to give RDJ a chance.
Yeah, well, I think that was the better choice in hindsight. But
Well, obviously, yes.
Yeah, I mean, do you get why? Do you get the reference that I made to Tropic Thunder? I know Shane does.
Yeah, no,
I've never seen the film. So
okay, we need to change that.
We need to add that to the watch along list this summer.
It's gonna be the greatest watch along of your life. I love Tropic Thunder. But just when it comes to this Iron Man movie, like it's the thing that started it all. It's a good movie. I'm like Shane. I think it's overrated. But
I just thought of something bad. I was thinking about Tropic Thunder, and I was gonna say they'll make RDJ Rhodey too.
Oh Jesus God, Christ. No, bro. Oh no. Don't. But please don't.
We've already went off the rails.
You have to watch the movie to understand. But anyways,
yeah.
I mean that joke I get because I know that.
But the thing is, when you actually watch the movie, it becomes funnier.
We'll add it to the watch along list. We'll put it on there.
Yeah. But
I actually have it on the docket for next season.
Yes.
Do you actually? We're gonna do a comedy movie. We're gonna do a watch along for that. I don't care. We'll do it. I don't care.
Oh my god. So yeah, anyway, Iron Man 08.
back to center.
Yeah, I like it. I don't love it. I still like it. I'll watch it again. It's almost like a comfort movie considering it. Hey, it started the MCU. It's still a good movie. RDJ is great. All this stuff. But I think, you know, I'm kind of a chain. And the thing is, you can't have, to me, and this is how I thank God you brought this up, when you were finishing up your point, was that the ending felt rushed. I'm like, thank you. Because I was like, how much time do I left in the movie? And like, right around the time he kind of, he gets jumped by his former friend there. You know, he gets attacked, pretty much, put to sleep, or basically almost left for dead in his apartment. Like at the end. Yeah, but I'm like, how much time left in this movie? I'm like, oh, there's only like 25 minutes left. I'm like, why is this taking place now? She doesn't take place like 20 minutes before this. Like, why did this take so long? Why did this take over an hour and a half to get to this point? Because I'm like, even in my head, the second it happened, when I clicked on the timer to see where it was, I was like, oh, so the energy's got completely rushed to all hell. Because I'm like, because we don't have time left for this movie now. Now we only have like 25 minutes. I'm going to squeeze a whole final battle and then some into 25 minutes. So I'm like, that doesn't make sense. So, I get why it's rated highly, but I'm kind of like Shane. It's just, you can't drag on the first act that long. Like, this movie almost feels like, doesn't even feel like it's three acts. It feels like it's two. It feels like it's one long act. Maybe, and then maybe like 2 seconds of a second act, and then five minutes of a third
act. It's one and a half. It's 100% like one and a half. I hear that. Yeah.
That's what's wrong. Like I said, I like it, but it's not as great as I think people make it to be. So I'm kind of like, if I degrade it, I'm going like I remember like Rotten Tomatoes and like the whole MCU community, they gave it like a 94% or something like that on over there. I'm like, okay, that's a little high for me. I'm like, that's a little, but they're gonna give it, it's an MCU movie, they're gonna give it high ratings. Most of the time, for me, I'm going to go a little low, at least for what MCU standards are. I'm going to say 7.5 out of 10. I think it's good. I don't think it's great.
I got to say this, and Will, I think you'll help me, because you've gone through a lot more of the multiverse. You and I both have gone through a good bit of the multiverse saga. Can I make a political statement?
What?
I'll make a political statement. Bring back alcohol in the MCU. We need alcohol. We need drugs. We need more adult shit in the MCU. Well,
we did have it with Iron Man 2.
I'm saying multiverse. Sorry. I'm saying the last 5 years of the MCU. Where is this? It feels way too kiddish now compared to where it's been, where it started. Because I was watching this movie and going, oh my god, he's openly drinking freaking Jack Daniels. Well, not.
Well, you gotta think that that's where they make their money now, though. They make their money off the kids.
Yeah, Disney. Yeah. Because Disney, and this was Paramount and all this stuff. But I'm like, dude, I miss when Iron Man I miss that. When you can, like, even in the Avengers, he offers Loki a drink. Like, he's like, hey, you want a drink? I'm gonna have something to drink. Like, I miss that.
Why do you think I love pre-MCU Marvel? Like, freaking going back to Spider-Man, which we'll do in a little bit,
we'll do that in 2 weeks.
Willem Dafoe pouring himself a glass of, what was it, whiskey or some shit, and throwing it against like the mirror. I'm like, that scene in himself when he's struggling with the voices in his head, I'm like, yeah, that's cool. I like that.
Well, also we had some liquor and stuff when Wolverine. I remember when Deadpool Wolverine last year.
I'm not talking about that because that's Fox and it's an R-rated movie. I'm talking about everything aside from that over the last 5 years. I should have specified that. I apologize. But I'm talking about non-R-rated stuff over the last 5 years. It's too light. It's too light. True. Come on.
It's almost. You know what's crazy? It's almost getting away. It's PG-13, but it's PG masking itself as PG-13.
Yeah, yeah. Will, do you see my point? Particularly in the multiverse saga, what we're doing with it just doesn't feel like it. It's not even nostalgia. I'm watching it and going, like, there's sex in this. People thought Eternals was the first sex scene. Nah. It was this movie. But it's like this movie like felt like PG-13, as Brandon's saying. It's like compared to where we are with the MCU, and I don't know how they're gonna incorporate Deadpool, we'll figure that out. But it's just like I miss that, you know? And it's like, and also, you know, they were going up on the clock because Merrill Lynch, this was all financed by insurance and all their characters were collateral. There was a lot more stress in the MCU, and I guess they're kind of with that. Considering the dwindling interest, excuse me, but yeah, it's just for me, I miss that, you know. I think I just miss that kind of era where they could really do a lot, you know, that those older movies, as Brandon said, could do. But
yeah, they're owned by Disney and stuff, so you know, they can't.
That's another thing, too. Even if it wasn't for Disney, I mean, we probably would still get some of the hardcore stuff in it, but the thing is also just it stinks to think about it this way though, but just times have changed. Yeah. And it's like it's, you know, it's not 2000, it's not even, you know, even going back like to 2013, like I know it was 2008, but even going back to the early 2010s, it was still a different time than what it is now. So it's definitely, I would say in the last 10 years, it's just been like a, you know, I just feel like when things have changed so drastically like that, it's like I don't know if we'll ever see it again unless it's something that's non Disney. Like if it's more so, you know, like Fox is doing it right with the whole Deadpool stuff. But it just feels like that's an era that like you're just not going to see again. Although Deadpool, like when we look at what Deadpool's doing with the R-rated stuff, and you know. My God, we desperately need. I'm tired of asking for this. Speaking of superheroes, I want a goddamn Batman R-rated movie. Make it happen. I'm sick of this crap. Make it happen.
Yeah.
Well, because that
we'll needs, get to that in a second. Happen. Yeah.
But like, we just we need like movies are not just for kids. Yeah, there's superheroes, but the superheroes, but you know, like beating up people. Almost killing people, like that's an adult kind of thing, don't you think? Like, shouldn't we be getting an adult kind of movie for things like this too?
Well, that's my thing that I and you know, I think we're all in the audience where we kind of grew up with the MCU. I watched it more during COVID, but you know, hey, you know, it was our era growing up. We're adults now, guys. Like, we're gonna get to an era where it's like, you know, there's different generations that are just not going to be into the MCU because they're going to be so behind. It's a lot of homework to get done. Like, if you're watching all these movies, if you're a movie buff, you're going to do it. But most casual people won't do it. Like, for us who are, you know, entrenched in the MCU even now, like, we're adults. Like, let's go. Like, let's get some more adult movies and not, I guess... Like, Eternals felt like they were trying to do some of that. And then I watched Deadpool and I go like, yeah, I think we need more of that. Even if it's just alcohol. Like, I don't know. Like, I miss that. I know Demon in a Bottle and all these different things with Iron Man that they adapted more so with the first two movies. But it's like, I miss that. I just miss that era of, and it's not, again, it's not nostalgia. It's just truth. I think the MCU is trying to cater to a younger audience when realistically their audience is adults, us, at this point. So I don't get that. I just don't understand it. And yeah, some of it's sensibility, but it's like, dude, frick sensibility. We just want good movies. We don't need to be sensitive about every little thing in every movie.
Like you know what really could have well, what really hurt one of the movies that I was excited for back during COVID. I was excited for the New Mutants when they announced it.
Oh yeah, that got delayed like 6 years. Jesus.
And the problem is with it, it was supposed to be a more horror R-rated superhero movie. And they ended up reshooting it to hell and to turn turning the knob down like considerably. And I'm like, yeah, that's why this movie sucks. Because you reshot the hell out of it and you completely changed it from what it was supposed to be. So yeah. I'm like, that's the biggest thing, I think, killing just movies in general nowadays, but especially MCU and then things like that. Stop reshooting this shit. Stop. Doesn't need to be reshot.
Reshoot some of it, but don't reshoot things for like months on end.
There's gonna be reshoots for anything, but like, don't reshoot it to the point where it's like this is a whole different movie than what was promised. So, I don't like that. You gotta just sometimes know when to leave things be. And the problem is with Disney having control over all this stuff now, it's like they don't know, because everything, and we've seen this over the years, for even before we were born, with like early Disney movies, they demand perfection to the point where it's squeaky clean, but that does not work. It's not what anybody wants to see anymore. We're like, no, we don't want this. Stop messing with what we know or what the people know they like. Like, it's like, if you're not going to give the people what they want, don't do it. The only problem is, you're going to do it because it makes so much damn money, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So, Shane, can you talk about, like, what has changed in terms of just filmmaking in general since this movie came out in 2008 and kind of where we are at in 2025 in terms of these things that we're talking about, the audience sensibilities and things of that nature?
Well, a lot. I mean, I think, for the MCU specifically, it's, they, for the first 11 years, they were building towards this idea of, the Infinity Saga. So there was a very clear roadmap. And now it's just... it's kind of like they're just throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks, and it shows. I mean, it's not clear, it's not focused, feels, the movies don't feel as they don't feel as intentional as they used to. It's just kind of like, well, we got to get a movie out, so here, let's just do this, okay? Movies. I mean, there was a time from about 2015 to like 19 where, people were in theaters more because there were, tons of, not just MCU, but like, Star Wars, X-Men, Deadpool, DC, big movies that were coming out, and
as they say, tentpole movies.
Yeah, and that's not to mention other big franchises like Mission Impossible,
007 was still turning out. Yeah,
007,
Fast and Furious,
oh my god,
John
Fast
Wick,
my god,
there were all these franchises that were really big, and so people were in the theater a lot. And then COVID happened, and COVID changed a lot about our world. It changed really like everything about the way we live, when you really think about it. And one of the things that was affected by that was entertainment, specifically movies, because now streaming has just exploded during the pandemic, obviously. And now, you know, there's not all these exciting franchises going on. I mean, there's only one more Mission Impossible movie, so we think.
007's getting rebooted. Fast and Furious is done.
There's no Star Wars movies coming out right now. The MCU, people aren't really into it.
The DCU, we'll see. We're excited, but I think you have to be like a real fan to be excited about that at this point.
But it, yeah, but you know, there's been nothing with that in the last few years, you know. So you know, and
nothing there, good. Nothing good with DC, at least live action. Nothing good.
Nothing people have cared about.
Outside of Batman.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The Batman.
We don't talk about Green Lantern. Yeah, we don't.
We're good. We're good.
We don't talk about it either.
Or the second Wonder Woman movie.
But anyways, so I mean, between the lack of these, you know, tentpole movies not really coming out, and also streaming, people just wanting to, you know, watch movies from their couch instead, it's just made it so that, you know, people aren't really going to the theater much anymore. I mean, hell, I used to go, you know, probably once a month, like during that, you know, 15 to 19 span, just for, not even for those tentpole franchises, but just, you know, I'd be there and see the previews and be like, oh, that looks like an interesting movie, like Knives Out, you know.
And Knives Out has a Netflix deal now. You're watching it on Netflix. Yeah, it's on a special. Yeah.
But the thing is, though, like, you know, if Knives Out was a movie that had come out last year as opposed to in 2019, I probably wouldn't have seen it in the theater because I just, you know, I mean, since COVID, I really haven't gone that much. I've gone like, you know, maybe two or three times a year now, as opposed to once a month or more, even, you know. Mm-hmm. Just because, you know, there just haven't been those movies. And that's, you know, you really, I mean, at least for me, I go to the theater to like see that kind of stuff on the big screen, like Mission Impossible or whatever. And yeah, so anyways, but once you're there and you see all the previews for everything, like, I remember in 19, it was like, okay, you know, I'm sitting there watching Knives Out, and there's a preview for Ford versus Ferrari. And I was like, oh, that looks cool. So then a couple weeks later, I come back and see that, you know, which, you know, those are not like big franchise movies, or, well, at least they weren't at the time. But yeah, so anyways, there's just not as much of that anymore. And yeah, I do think part of it too is that people are feeling a little fatigue from sequels and franchises, because we did get so much of that in
We got so much
In 15 to 19, and it was fun while it lasted, but you know, now it's kind of like, eh, all right, you know, we've kind of seen it now. So I don't know, it's a weird industry, to say the least, right now. But that's, you know, TV is really popping off. Games are doing really well. Well, not Xbox, but the others are.
not entirely. Some of it. Not entirely, but yeah.
Yeah. And there's many reasons for that, but I can't really go into it because of NDAs.
Oh my god, that's funny.
Ah, the NDAs. I hate the NDAs.
Yeah, I've had to sign a lot of them. But anyways, so yeah, but movies right now, it's definitely kind of a, you know, it's not there's not nearly as many movies being made now, just because, you know, studios know that they don't have the same kind of theater income, so they're not really pulling the trigger as much. Which,
meanwhile, I'm getting my ticket for Paddington right now,
which is unfortunate, but I mean, you know, I guess at the end of the day, I am part of the problem because I too am not going to the theater as much. But still, it's just, I don't know, it's like, I think that, I mean, at least for me, that's more so because of the content that they are putting out. I'm like, okay, I'm not really interested. You know, if they start putting out good shit, then yeah, I'll be back. But,
but well, again, but, meanwhile, I mean, meanwhile, I'm making sure I have my ticket for Paddington set. I'm like, okay.
Right. I mean, yeah.
People are already killing Shrek, and Shrek doesn't come out until Christmas next year.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, you just sparked something. First, Will, give your rating on Iron Man out of 10. What are you thinking here? What's your rating here?
I give it a 7 out of 10.
Okay. I'll do the same. I'll give it a 7. I think that's fair. And you, Brandon, you had a 7.5 for that. Yep. Okay. I think that we're kind of in lockstep there. Okay. Trek 5. Will, do you want to go?
Well, I know I said my piece a little bit, but
you didn't say it on the mic. Go for it, dude.
Yeah, no. Honestly, man, I looked at it and it was like, bro, what have they done to Shrek? I watched this since I was a kid. Like, DreamWorks was something that I have like a DVDs. I remember I had like El Dorado. I had trying to think of others. I had Shrek. I had the first one, second one. I had Kung Fu Panda. Like, they've been turning out bangers. Like, you know, there's some that are, you know, people are forgettable, like Flush Away and stuff, but Shrek has always
Flush
been
Away.
Flush Away was crazy.
Dude, that's, yeah, was, I saw that movie in theaters, bro.
For some odd reason. But,
wait, you saw Flush Away in theaters?
Yeah, it wasn't by choice, but
yeah.
Dang, see, my mom is not good at picking movies to go to.
You saw Cats.
Yeah, Cats. She wanted to see Cats in the theater, and I said, hell no. Anyways, continue, Will.
Yeah, please go, Will.
But I always thought like Shrek was basically DreamWorks' baby. It's like how Disney has Mickey Mouse. No, Pixar's with Disney, but Pixar, I would say Toy Story is sort of the mascot. And and usually you have these franchises that have these different mascots, and Shrek is the mascot for DreamWorks. And seeing what they've done to Shrek basically look like it came from like the Croods, like that animation.
That's an interesting thought. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's accurate.
Yeah, and also it couldn't use the Puss in Boots animation, because I remember people's hype over Puss in Boots The Last Wish, and honestly, I watched a little bit of Last Wish, and I thought Last Wish was amazing. Like, Def was basically like, he was basically like the guy that is untouchable. Like, you can't beat Def. Like what he said, like, Def is basically, he's basically Def straight up. And I thought after that movie, it's like, man, it's hype for the Shrek franchise. Maybe they might have a turnaround. And then we had the teaser, and then we got this. And I was like, bro, what the? And then I saw it, and then they did like the meme stuff. And then I was like, bro, Donkey looks like he basically, like I said, like Shane quoted it. Yeah, it looked like he came out from a crack house or something. Like, he looked too old to me. And I know he aged a bit, but man, why did you gotta make him look like that? Like, it looked weird. And then Pinocchio looks like he came out from a Disney, because it's kind of ironic because Shrek's supposed to be that type of movie that makes fun of the Disney tropes. And Pinocchio looks like he's one of them. Basically, the whole group looks like they are. The only one is the daughter one, because since they kind of time skipped her until like 16, I believe, and Zendaya, though, I like her acting, though. She sucks as Mary Jane. I know we talk about MCU, but she sucks. As
what? Okay, wait. Can we get there when we get to Homecoming, please? I want to hear this, but save it for a few weeks.
MCU being trash.
I'm just saying, it's kind of a good segue, though, but because she's going to be playing the daughter next year, so I think. And I'm glad the OG three, Diaz, Eddie Murphy, my boy, and Myers is there. So all of them are there. So that's going to be good. And Pinocchio is going to be the same. So I'm honestly, I'm not going to crap on it, because they could change the animation a little bit, because they done it with Sonic when it got ugly Sonic, and they finally changed it to basically a better version.
Can I make a weird take on ugly Sonic?
Yeah.
Does it get better but also weirder with time?
A little bit. To me it does, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and also they put it on. You guys ever watch that Chip and Dale?
Oh my god, it's definitely hilarious.
I was like, bro, this is crazy. Like, they making fun of it. They made fun of Batman too.
They made fun of Batman as well. DCEU Batman.
I hate that, man. Batman's too good. I hate when people done that.
We're so nostalgic for like the old days, right? Since we're talking about pre-MCU, because we're even talking about Toby's Spider-Man. We're talking about, Toy Story being a thing. It's like, we grew up on Toy Story, Monsters, Inc., Finding Nemo. Like, those things were, like, they were done well. They weren't just the fact they were kids' movies. They were done well that any age could watch them.
That Finding Nemo shark is still the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life.
What, Bruce?
Bruce is scary, dude.
Oh my god, bro. Come on. Yeah, he's a shark.
You should watch the sharks in Shark Tales, bro. He's literally a vegetarian.
The one with Oscar Will Smith's fish thing.
Yeah,
I've had the disc for that movie, but I haven't seen it in a long time.
Yeah, I have it too.
Do you know who executive produced that movie?
Who? Michael Bay.
Yep.
Ah, fuck. The same guy that messed up freaking a. To the turtles, the live action turtles.
Oh, the turtles, bro. The turtles.
You know what's even to me when we're talking about like the animated movies and stuff? I still do not think there's a better opening than the Monsters, Inc. jazz thing.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
I've actually met the guy that played trombone on that track. He's a Seattle guy.
Everybody at this point, though, come on.
Yeah, I know, but I talked to him about that, and I was like, so when you guys recorded that, how much of it was like improv, and because it's very much like a New Orleans, Dixieland style jazz, which is which is very improvised. And he said, yeah, we didn't have sheet music or anything. We just kind of showed up at the studio and just played that. Yeah.
That's my awesome.
And he said we had, like a chord structure, which I mean, you have to. And then, we just had like an AABA form, which that's, musical jargon. But anyways, it was like, yeah, so we'll do that. And then you solo, I solo, and then we come back in and close it. And that was it. And he was like, yeah, we just, we did it a few times. And then we were like, yeah, okay, that's good. And then that was it. Which which is just hilarious to me. I don't know why, but
that's awesome.
Fun fact about that.
You know what movie we also kind of got into in the chat during break that I thought was kind of funny? We talked about Madagascar because we talked about the penguins.
I like to move it, move it.
Smile and wave, boys. Smile and wave. So good.
Like Steve Tressler. Man. That was the guy's name.
Oh, man.
It just came to me.
Yeah.
Like a vision.
But
anyways,
you can tell that we're having too much fun with this when we spent more time talking about movies in general than the combine today.
Well, it's an open-ended show because with the combine, I mean, it's like, you know, what are we gonna glean from them running in shorts?
when we've devolved from the combine to the Monsters Inc. theme song.
Yeah.
I still love all the memes that come with that. Like it's like it's a shame that the memes have somewhat ruined the song for me. Like when I hear it now, like in the opening, I'm like, I love it. It still makes me smile. Like I feel obviously we all feel like a kid again, but then the second thing that crossed my mind is like the memes, like Big Bird knocking down the door. Like there's that meme where they play that song like full blast or blows the speakers out the second he knocks down the door. Like I'm like, all right, you're ruining this for me now. But at the same time, it's like it's just I have to ask this question. Are we becoming like the get off my lawn old men? Like back in my day, things were so much better.
Yes. Yeah. 100%. At least with film, at least with film, TV and gaming for sure. For me, at least.
I understand now when my mom and dad and then my grandparents now are like, oh yeah, things were so much better back in the day. And I'm like, okay, sure. When I was like 15, 16, I'm like, yeah, okay, sure, grandpa, whatever. Like, but now I understand because now I feel that way with the things that we grew up on. So now I'm like, all right, you know, like that's why the funniest thing I always think of is like when older generations are like, oh, like you Gen Zs. I'm like, do you realize that Gen Z is old now? Like, half of Gen Z is 18 or and up.
You know what made me lose my mind on that more than anything? Two specific things. VHS tapes and floppy disks.
Yep.
The fact
we
that
still
people don't know what that is messes
that.
Me up.
Like iPod.
There's literally people who are in our generation because Gen Z goes from like from 98, 99 to like the early 2010s, like 2011, 2012. So there's people in our generation, obviously younger kids, that don't know what that is. And I'm like, you're in the same generation, but you don't know what that is.
You don't know what a floppy disk is, bro. I grew up like with floppy disks.
Like I grew up, instead of having, like, I had DVDs, like actual movie DVDs in my room and VHS tapes in my room. Like, I grew up with an old Sylvania tube TV that would shock you if you touched it. Like those were things that, you know, early 2000s being a little kid, you know, growing up and then being, you know, obviously into the late 2000s, I still had a lot of those things. So I hate when people are like, oh, you kids don't understand, you know, what this, that is like. I'm like, no, I understand. I grew up in a lot of the same things.
Finish up, Brandon. My bad.
No, I was just gonna say, like, you know, like that's why, like, I feel like when we talk about even with the movie stuff, I'm like, it's just we're not old, but we're not so far removed from like those movies that we think are better than what's coming out today. But we're not. The thing is, part of me also feels like justified in saying, you know, back in my day it was better because there's people older than us who are in their 30s and 40s even saying that those movies that we liked as kids back in the day are better, or music, whatever it is, TV shows, were better than what they are now. So we're not the only ones saying it.
It's funny for me being like so behind, because like a lot of the movies that we're watching or that Shane picks or whatever, like particularly during the season, I know some of you guys have, or you know, I've seen those before and some I haven't, so it's kind of fun, kind of, you know, as a kid not experiencing that and then kind of experiencing it as an adult. Like like next up for me, I'm gonna finish like GTA 4. You know what I mean? Like, even with video games, you know what I mean? So it's like, you know, these games that I never experienced. Like, I played GTA 5 last year or 2 years ago now. That's when I played it. You know what I mean? So that was the first time I ever played it. So, like, it's kind of nuts.
Movies have always kind of gone in phases of, like, you know, the 70s was, like, the first decade when movies were really amazing and, like, started to be lasting and impactful. And then, but then like in the 80s, there weren't a ton of great movies. I mean, there was like, you know, Terminator and Indiana Jones, Empire Strikes Back, stuff like that. But it was a lot of just like kind of, you know, just the middle of the road stuff. Yeah. But then like the 90s had amazing movies, like the 70s. You know, I mean, that was Saving Private Ryan, Shawshank, Forrest Gump, like just Schindler's List.
2000, I think, did too.
And then, yeah, then the in the 2000s dipped a little bit as well. Yeah.
Still better than the 80s.
Yeah. But then the 10s went back up. We got a lot of amazing movies in the 10s. And now in the 20s, it's like,
the Renaissance is coming in 2030.
And then, right. But it's like the Oscars are tomorrow, and I'm just like,
yeah.
Nobody cares for those shows anymore.
Nobody cares. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's in certain years, like particularly like 2014 to 19. And then, you know, in the 90s, it was like 91 to 96 when it was really in the prime, you know, so it's, yeah, anyways.
Yeah, no, it's a mess. All right, any final thoughts before we log off here for the day?
No, I got to get out of here.
I got one more thing.
Yeah, Will, go ahead.
I thought Captain America Brave New World was pretty okay.
Yeah, no, that's where I have it. I thought it was okay. I thought the reshoots were an issue. I wish it wasn't reshot. Like that's actually speaking of what Brandon talked about. Yeah. I wish it wasn't reshot. I thought it would have been a way better movie. When we do the Captain America movies next off season, we're not gonna do Brave New World because we're just gonna stick with the main three because I'm just not. Yeah, I thought it was. I think pretty okay is exactly where I have it. Let's see. Before we go, Brandon, lead us through. Tell us what our. So we're doing Spider-Man, then we're doing Batman. So tell us our group of five for Batman, the four, and then our watch along there.
Yeah. So originally when we tabled this, I remember we were talking about it. Late last, well, it technically is last season now because the new NFL season is starting soon, or basically has started almost. So we were talking about this pretty much back in like what, November, December, something like that. When we originally talked about it, I was like, oh yeah, I want to do Batman, but I want to do the Bale trilogy. I want to do, you know, Bat Pat. I want to do Robert Pattinson, and I want to maybe do, you know, one of the older ones. Well, that plan changed a bit. So coming up with it last night, obviously, because we were talking about it last night. So we are going to do something where it's the off season. If it was during the season, I'd pick, you know, one Batman movie, whatever, to do whenever my turn came and then do a good one. But since we're doing the series and since it's the off season, you know, we each have basically our set of five movies, and I was dead set on doing a Batman thing, so we're gonna devolve here. So we're gonna start with the Dark Knight because that's basically the cornerstone of the Batman franchise as a whole. Dark Knight is just classic no matter which way you slice it. So that movie has to be done first. Then I want to do Batman, Bat Pat. I want to do Batman 22. After that, we have to pay respect to Kevin Conroy. So I said we would do the Mark of the Phantasm because that's, and it's just a great movie in general.
Yeah, it's awesome. RP.
Yeah. So I misspoke. Mask of Phantasm. Sorry.
With Mark Hamill.
With Mark Hamill. Yeah, can be amazing.
Yeah, that. You know, they
you just got the marks mixed up.
Yeah, Mark and Mask. It's one letter, and then they're close. You know,
Mask Hamill in Mark of the Phantasm.
Yes, actually, yep. Let's do it that way. but you know, hey, we all misspeak. But yeah, Mask of Phantasm. That movie is great. I mean, it's old. It's older than us. It came out in 93, I believe. So
yeah.
But it's a great movie. I've watched it a few times. It's really good. So that's number three. Four is we're gonna go back to Adam West. So we're gonna do Batman 66.
Yeah.
So because like I'm saying, we're devolving here. So we're gonna go from worse. Best. To
yeah, I don't know. I don't like Adam West Batman.
So it's cheesy, but it's cheesy, but it set the stage for what we know. So, and then I'm gonna finish it. We're gonna do our watch along, and because I want to do funny stuff for the watch along, so I was like, you know what? What's the worst one out of all of them? And I'm like, oh, yo, instantly, Batman and Robin. That movie sucks.
Is that the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger would do one? Ice
Puns? Yes.
Yep. And that's
Butcher Bane. Yes. What the
fuck? Yep. Yep. Bat nipples. Yeah. Bat nipples and Poison Ivy and
the Bat credit card.
Yeah.
I know nothing about. I know some of this stuff, but not enough. So it's.
You are in for such a fun movie.
The only real George Clooney Batman reference I have is him in The Flash. At the end, that's it.
This is the movie that made people or made many many young men fall in love with Uma Thurman. So there's that, but Batman and Robin is such a silly movie, from the bat nipples to the ice puns. So that's gonna be so fun to do as a watch along because my God. We have to I don't drink, but we're gonna have to find a drinking game for that because that movie is just downright stupid.
Jesus.
Arnold Schwarzenegger can do. got to chill out. What the?
Chill out.
But with the watch song, it's gonna be similar to our Captain Alex thing. We're gonna get on Discord. We're gonna watch it, and then we're gonna do like a small like. Live 20-minute recap reaction type thing.
Also, Rob, we also have to see freaking them Butcher Bane.
I know nothing about this.
Batman and Robin has a bad like, bro,
Bane. He's also smart. That's why I love Bane. Bane from the Dark Knight trilogy.
Yeah, because Tom Hardy knows what he's doing. Problem is that Batman and Robin's Bane is just like a big dumb brute.
Yeah.
Bane. That's what he's like. He's just
Jesus. All right. Well, for Brandon, for Shane, for Will, for myself. Next week we are going to go over the movies from the past season and rank them as kind of a special kind of last thing before we do, you know, weekly NFL based shows every week. Moving forward. So we'll see you then next week. Thank you guys for the time, man. This is awesome as always.
Yeah. Take care, everybody.
Yeah, have a good one, everybody.
See you.